Ahojte priatelia, vítajte pri Sem viac podcaste. Moje meno je Martin Vigláš a spolu so mnou tu dnes sedia traja skvelí ľudia, priamo z Izraela, mesianskí Židia. Sú súčasťou kapely Solu, ktorá bola súčasťou našej konferencie EVS. Veľmi sa z toho tešíme, že máme takýto vzácny hosti a opäť budeme hovoriť po anglicky, keďže iným spôsobom sa nevieme dorozumieť. Ak chcete rozumieť vy, zapnite si titulky na YouTube. Ak počúvate cez Spotify, prepnite sa na YouTube, aby ste si mohli pozrieť titulky a vychutnať si tento rozhovor. So welcome guys here in Chcem viac podcast. We are honored we have you here. I will introduce you a little bit. Yes. So my guests are from Solu, Israeli worship music band, Messianic Jews. This is Yedidia.
Mm-hmm.
He is brother of Shiloh. If you have watched our recent podcast, you know. This is Yosef.
Hello.
And this is Gili.
Hello.
Or Gili.
Yeah, Gili.
Gili. Mm-hmm. Gili is better. They're not connected to other members as brothers, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So mm-hmm. and that's okay. That's the base we are yes. connected together.
That's what we say to make ourselves feel better.
Yes.
So you all were raised and born in Israel, and I'm always wondering when I meet someone who is Jesus follower or Yeshua follower, what is his story of faith? So maybe Yosef?
Yeah, sure.
You can start.
Yeah. My mother was a worship leader before I was born, from Ukraine actually. She made Aliyah in 96, and my dad was also a believer in Yeshua. So I was born into a believer family, and I was raised knowing who God is, kind of hearing about God, going to church. And when I was 6 years old, we lived in Ukraine, and I remember I had a very big experience, encounter with God. I remember it was a worship time, and I left to bring something from the game room, and suddenly my spirit was like taken away from me, and I saw like a dry desert, and like silence, and there's this bush rolling around the desert, and it was like dead and silent and ruins of buildings, and the wind was blowing very quietly, and all of a sudden the ground shook very strongly and it opened up, and I saw from the other side people were jumping from one side to another, and some of them made it to the other side, some of them fell inside, some of them even didn't even jump. Mm-hmm. And then I remember an angel came and he gathered us together and he led us to a stairway to heaven. And we went up this stairway, and it was like heaven. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, have you ever seen The Hobbit or
yes,
Lord of the Rings? The green hills. So it's like that, but instead of grass, it's clouds. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
And that was like my very big encounter with God. I think after that, I started speaking in tongues after that experience, and I was only 6 years old, and yeah, that was something very big.
Oh, that's
how I got to know the Lord.
Wow. Wow, that's nice. What about you, Gili?
For me, I was also born to a Messianic family, and always my dad is a pastor in Israel, so I always grew up hearing the Bible, reading the Bible with my mom in the mornings when I was a little girl. And I think also for me in a very young age, when I was 5, I had I just had that desire to give my life to the Lord. And I told my parents I want to sit down and pray and live for Yeshua. And so since I was 5, I can say I really believe in my heart in the purest way. And I think all my life I believed. There wasn't ever a time for me that I left the faith, but I think there were different seasons of going through different struggles that really, actually through the struggles, it brought me closer to God. And specifically, I can think about the army that for me was a very intensive time of personal struggles. I felt very isolated from the rest of my community, from my family, from believer friends, felt very alone. And I think after the army, pursuing a lot of healing and a lot of just time to spend with God in different places and times really brought me closer to God and just really brought to a deeper knowledge of my personal relationship with him, not just strengthening my faith through community, through youth group, through my congregation, but really I had the privilege to stand alone with God and really have my test, have a test of my faith to see really how true God is for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yedidia.
Yeah, so I'm Yedidia. I was also born to a believing family. I was born in Jerusalem, but then I grew up in Maale Adumim, which is a city very close to Jerusalem. And it's it's like a religious city. There's a lot of religious people. They're not like with their like black and white clothing, but they're settlers, let's say. And I was always believing, but in school and in the army, you have to stand up for your faith, because there's a lot of, not a lot, but there's some persecution. If you say that you believe in Christ, then they think he's a false prophet. They don't even think he's God. So you have to be courageous. You have to stand up and you have to say that I'm a believer. I'm not like a lukewarm Christian. I go to church sometimes. You have to go to church every day, every week, and go to youth things and stuff like that. So I think I gave my life to Yeshua at the age of 6, 7, once I understood. I wanted to get baptized, but my parents told me that I have to wait, because when you're 6 years old, your frontal lobe isn't completely developed. But I was a believing person back then, but I got baptized at the age of 14. And then I got into high school. And I remember one day at school, we were going over Genesis chapter 1, and God is creating Adam, is creating the first person. And he asks, God asks, how should we create this person? And he says, let's create in plural, like with, he says to more people, like not only to himself, he says, let's create a person in our image. So the teacher, the Bible teacher asks, why do you think God talks like in plural? And I stand up and I say, I believe that God is has like three identities, and there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And I stood in his class and I told about my faith. Everyone was like shocked. They came up. It was like the first class, like Bible class, I think, in school. And then after, in the recess, everyone went up to me and they were arguing, and I had to stand there about the Bible. I had to stand right next to the gospel and like talk to them about it. Some people didn't like it. A lot of people didn't like it at all. But after a couple of months, I think people understood that I'm not gonna change my faith because of school, because of other people. So I was back to being like a regular person who believes also in Christ. But you have also the judgment of your classmates. So if you do something that is not quite right, they will point it out and they say, hey, would Yeshua act like that? Yeah, that's my experience.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. Maybe our listeners or viewers has recognized that you don't say Jesus, you say Yeshua. Does it have some reasons you do so, or maybe Yosef?
Well, Jesus is not his actual name, you know. He was born a Jewish man from a Jewish mother and a Jewish father, and the name given to him in the Jewish Bible was Yeshua. With time, Jewish people, they don't really like Yeshua. So they changed his name. And in Israel today, if someone calls Yeshua, they call him Yeshu, which means Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, and it's like a curse. It's like, may his name and his memory be erased. Mm-hmm. And that kind of also shows you how the Jewish people treat Messiah, Yeshua, and just being Christian in Israel. It's not very accepted in our land.
Yeah. And I think also the name Yeshua, the root of the word is the same as the word salvation. Mm-hmm. So it's his name means that we will be saved through him,
yeah.
Which I think is a really important part of his name.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's brings some light for people who are listening. You all said that your parents were Messianic Jews also. Mm-hmm. But I know that your grandparents weren't.
No. So, yeah.
But they become.
Yes.
Can you share with us the story?
So, yeah, sure. I have I have a big family. But my grandparents from my dad's side, they were Christian. They were born in England. Also, my dad was born in England and then moved to Israel at the age of 22. But then my parents, my grandparents from my mom's side, my mom's mom was she was a Holocaust survivor. She went through the Holocaust. God saved her and he brought her to Israel. And then my grandpa from my mom's side, he was from Athens, and he was very sick when he was old. From a heart attack or something, and he accepted. My mom and dad were preaching to him, sharing the gospel with him. And one time when he was in hospital, he was like in a coma. He had a vision and he saw Yeshua. He was walking in the desert, and everything was like other colors. He said that he didn't see those colors ever. And to his right side, I think, he saw like a very luscious green area with lots of tree, lots of greenery, fruit. And to the other side, he kept seeing the desert. And Yeshua, he didn't see his face. He told him, he spoke to him in verses. And my grandpa was a traditional Jew. He didn't read the Bible so much, so there's no reason for him to remember the Bible like that. But Yeshua was talking to him in verses from the New Testament and from the Old Testament, and he was saying, "You have the choice. You can choose me, or you can choose the world. And this is me, the green area, and this is me, the desert area." And then my grandpa woke up. He cried. He asked for a kippah, and he told my grandma, I'm gonna die, I saw God. My grandma called my parents and they came and they spoke to him and he accepted Yeshua to his life. And then 3 months later, he died, but since like this time and to his death, he was going to church, he was reading the Bible, was praying. And then my grandma wasn't a believer at the time, but my parents always tried to preach to her and share the gospel with her. But it never birthed fruit. So my brother, he was in 2010-11, he was about 7-8 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think he read the Bible, before we went to sleep. And I think we read about hell, how hell will be a very uncomfortable place where you gnaw your teeth and there will be wailing. So he was very scared because he knew that my grandma, she's not a believer. So he asked my mom, he was crying, and he asked my mom, "Mom, can we please call grandma and share the gospel with her?" And she was like, "Okay, you can call her." And my brother kept calling her for a year, and trying to share the gospel with her. And by the end of the year, my brother asks her, "Hey, grandma, do you believe in Yeshua? Did you accept Yeshua?" And she said, "No, I need to read a bit more. I need to learn more. You're my rabbi. I need to learn a bit more." And it was like that for like a month. Like each day he was calling her. And then he went on the phone and was begging her to give him an answer. And she was like, "Okay, I do believe in Yeshua." And they finished the call. And then he was very excited. He came up to my mom and he told her, "Mom, grandma is a believer now. we can be happy. And my mom, she was skeptical, so she called my grandma, and then my grandma was like, yes, I accepted Yeshua to my life. And then a couple of weeks, months later, she died at the age of 81 or 80, I think. Yes, but she accepted her she accepted Yeshua to her life right before she died.
Amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. When I'm thinking of you guys, you are part of the solo worship band, but we have not said what does solo even mean to our listeners. So maybe Gilly, can you explain what does solo mean?
Yeah. So the word solo, it comes from the verse in Isaiah 40 that says, make way or pave the way for the Lord to come. And it says that it will be in the wilderness, which is actually where the house of prayer of Solu is, which is really special. And that is also the meaning of the ministry, is to prepare the way for the Lord, specifically in the body of Messiah in Israel, through worship, through prayer. So that's what we do.
Thank you. And can you tell us more about what you do in Israel, or how does your ordinary day or week look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. So in Israel, we do every week we have one worship in prayer set. That there's a lot of people who come consistently, like Yosef. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of other people, that they are part of like the Solu community. Yedidia too.
Thank you.
And so that's really fun. So we get to spend time together and to worship and prayer every time. There's different people on the team, so there's gets a chance to develop for different people. And then we also do worship nights in different congregations in Israel or different parts of Israel. We also have special events like fast. We had now before Passover a 40-day fast that a lot of people from different congregations in Israel joined. And so we had a worship evening in the south part of Israel, in the north part, and then in the Jerusalem area. So that was really special to see how many people connected through that in the country. And yeah, just really were changed from this fast and through prayer together. Yeah, and we do want to increase and do more worship and prayer sets during the week to also invite more people. But slowly, I think there's a situation with the building that is, we have to be careful because as Yedidia said in Maladumim, there's a lot of religious people. So we just have to be careful and take it slowly.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe my final question for all of you is, since we are recording this podcast during EVS conference, which is called 70 times 7, based on Jesus' words of on forgiveness. That means that we should always forgive. Have something happened in your life that was hard for you to forgive? Or maybe have you done something that you would consider was hard to forgive? Maybe Yosef can start.
I think it's a very challenging question for all of us. And it's a very... it's a serious subject. I like how this really touches something personal. And in my experience, I grew up in a family which is not the best family, let's say. And it was a broken family. My parents divorced and there was violence in my family. And I've experienced a lot of this violence. And I grew up into this. It's not like a one thing, you know, you grow up into this and your psychology, your brain kind of forms. And when you grow up, it kind of comes out. So I think this is one of the recent things I had to deal with is just also the low self-esteem, but also anger issues that comes with it. And I always blamed my family and I always blamed what they did to me and how they treated me and how it's not normal and how it's bad. But, you know, through prayer, I felt that God was saying, first, you are who you are because of this. You know, you grew up and you overcame this, and that is a strength at the end of the day. So anything bad that we have to go through, if we go through with the Spirit and the power of God, we come out stronger than ever, and this weakness becomes strength. But even more, I felt like God was saying, if you keep this bitterness and you're bitter towards your family, it's like a root, it's like a curse that keeps on going. It ruins you from the inside if you're bitter towards them, if you don't like them. So when you forgive, at least for me, when I forgive and I let go, and it's a process, it's still happening in my life and it takes time. But while I do this, I feel like I am being refreshed, like my roots are being cleansed and they're growing better and healthier. And because of my forgiveness and because I let go, I feel like I can see the world from a different perspective, from a better view, and I can choose now how I want my family to be like in the future, and how I make my own way. But if I didn't forgive, I would have not made my own way. I would have followed the curse of my parents. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. So that's for me, at least.
Thank you. Yedidia?
I speak for all Israelis right now, or Messianic Jews, about the war, because we had a very, very tough season since the 7th of October, a lot of terrorist attacks and things like that. So I think when you go through like the street, or you go see in a place that there are also Arab people that maybe Christian, or maybe people who are not religious or a bit Muslim, but they're peaceful people, and you hear Arabic, it can trigger you. It can make you tense up and make you think about like bad things about them, because you suffered a lot from them. So you generalize those people. And I think on the first days of October 7th, there was a lot of sense of revenge. Everyone wanted revenge. Everyone went to go into Gaza and destroy Gaza, demolish Gaza, make it a new Israeli place. God really worked on me, especially. I had to be humbled, forgiven. Because I was thinking Australia, I was thinking like all the other people in the country. I was thinking about revenge, and also some of my friends have been injured. Some of my friends, not that I know them like really close, but also some of them died. So there's a lot of sense of, you feel a lot of weight, and God needs to release a lot of people from trauma right now, and from feeling of revenge. I wouldn't say that I am completely clean or completely holy now. I think there's a lot to work on, but God is working on me and working on, I think, on the people of Israel. Trying to go day by day and forgive the actions of people who don't follow God, people who oppose God.
Yeah, if I can add on this, it's really true about the war and the anger that it uncovered in us. And I think we as a nation, we face a choice now, each and one of us in our personal lives, to forgive or to not forgive, to let go or to stick to the anger. And it's like, choose a side, you know? Mm-hmm. In my opinion, and it's just my personal opinion, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no, Palestine or Jewish, or West or East. I think it's darkness or light. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are. It's either you choose darkness and you stay bitter, or either you choose light and you let God do the work. So in Israel, even though they're not believers, even though they're not Christians, God is still working, and He's using those hard days to deepen and like expose the depths of our hearts.
Thank you for sharing. Gilly, want to add something?
Yeah, I will just add one sentence to what they were saying, that I think like Yosef said, it's really hard for people that are not believers to forgive or to move past what has happened or what is still happening to a lot of families. But I think that realization that you know God has forgiven you for what you have done for us being sinners, it makes it so much easier to forgive others. And that's why it's really important that we are praying for the people of Israel to really know God in this time, because it's a crucial time for them to know God and to draw closer to God, because He is the only one that can really bring healing in this time. And yeah, I will share about my life too, that when I was in a younger age, I also had a traumatic experience happen to me. And it was something that, like Yosef said, it opened up years later. And it took time to forgive, I think, mostly also that person that hurt me, but also for myself, because when something happens to you as a child, a lot of times you blame yourself because you don't know, you don't understand what you did. And I think it took me time to reach a place of healing, but really what brought me there is understanding God's love also for me, but also for others. And I think also through that, just looking a few years back and seeing how it was also a continual thing of choosing again and again to forgive, also to myself, also to the pain that someone hurt me, also to the pain that because of that pain I hurt maybe other people, that sometimes it is also a continual thing to choose to forgive every day. And I think also of the Lord's Prayer, I think there is a reason that it says there, forgive us, God, as we forgive other people. And that's really powerful when you think of, if there's someone that I haven't forgiven, is God going to forgive me? And that's really not a condemning, but what's the word? Challenging thought, maybe. Mm-hmm. To really put your place in and think about God's heart, because His heart, even now with everything happening in Israel, with pain, with so much suffering, His heart is still somehow for mercy and forgiveness. And I think once we put ourselves in that place of choosing to see things through His eyes, we have the opportunity to partner with Him in a way that we couldn't have done if we keep harboring things to ourselves. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you guys for sharing with us, with your hearts. Honest answers to hard questions, and we are so glad you're here with us for the conference and for the podcast. We really enjoyed your presence here, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Priatelia, toto je záver dnešného Chcem viac podcastu. Boli tu s nami hostia z Izraela, z mesianskej kapely Solo Israel. Tešíme sa, že ste si nás vypočuli až do konca. Určite nezabudnite na ďalšie prednášky o odpustení 70x7, tak ako sa volala konferencia EVS v tomto roku, alebo aj ďalšie podcasty, ktoré sme pre vás natočili. Ak sa vám niektoré páčia, určite nám nezabudnite ich okomentovať, napísať, čo sa vám na nich páčilo, alebo dať nám nejaké pripomienky, návrhy, čo by sme mohli ďalej rozoberať v našich podcastoch. A posúvajte ich aj ďalej medzi svojich priateľov, známych. Budeme radi, ak to budete zdieľať. Zároveň, ak ste sa rozhodli, že by ste chceli s Pánom Bohom možno do hlbšieho vzťahu, každé ráno už viac ako 10 rokov posielame na 2500 e-mailových adries také ranné, krátke biblické zamyslenia. Ak by ste sa chceli pridať, link nájdete v popise tohto videa. Počúvali ste Chcem viac podcast.